All right, quarters on.
I call the February 18, 2020 regular board meeting of the Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
Right, 7:01. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Hovey is absent. Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Here.
President Brooks?
Yes. Okay, moving to consent agenda items, A through C are routine. Recommended motion. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from consent agenda items?
No.
I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
So moved.
Roll call vote, please.
Second. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey? Obviously, he's absent still. Commissioner Ludden? Threw me off.
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes.
Oops, I got thrown off. Maybe he came. Maybe he flew in there that last 2 seconds.
Hi there. We'll address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Are you interested in making any comments? I did not think so. Okay.
I did not think so.
So we'll move on to the, is it BINA or BINA?
BINA.
BINA hearing. It is now 7:03 p.m. I would like to open the BINA hearing to receive public comments on the proposal to sell not to exceed $4.5 million general obligation limited tax park bonds for the payment of land condemned or purchased for parks for the building, maintaining, improving, and protecting of the same, and the existing land and facilities of the district, and for the payment of the expenses incident thereto, the park bonds, and that all persons desiring to be heard have an opportunity to present written or oral testimony with respect to this proposal after we present the information in this BINA hearing. The Park Board has been discussing the potential issuance of these bonds since June 2019. For the following reasons, the Board and staff agree that this is the best time to issue bonds. The district has identified over $13 million in master plan project renovations and improvements within our district that will need to be addressed in the next 5 years. The list of projects as follows: Watts Center rink and facility improvements, park maintenance facility improvements, Milton Playground replacement, Lakefront Playground replacement, Friends Playground Phase 2, Veterans Memorial improvements, Bluff Beach surface water management, Glencoe Beach pier replacement improvements, West Baseball Field improvements, Take of Center flat roof replacement, and North Athletic Field improvements. In 2020, the district has applied for a PARC, P-A-R-C, grant for the Watts Center renovation project, which could potentially allow us to receive a $2.5 million grant towards the project cost. The district's 2010 refunding bonds, which were originally issued in 2001, will retire on December 1, 2020, and given the retirement structure for the proposed new bonds, it will not appear until next year's tax bill. Given that the 2010 will be fully retired, the increase will be approximately $37 more to the average homeowner in Glencoe than this year. This assumes an average home value of $800,000. Current interest rates are at all-time lows. Given today's rates, we are looking at rates nearly half of the rate of the bonds that were issued in 2001 at 6%. The district has been able to transfer $7.3 million from fund balance reserves in the past 7 years, which has resulted in not having to issue debt to fund our projects over the past 5 years. This has greatly reduced the impact on taxpayers of the district. Are there additional comments from park commissioners?
No.
We have been studying this for some time, and the impact on our homeowners will be relatively minor.
Yes.
Okay.
There's
not taking on the debt and
funding the debt. Right. Agree. And interest rates are tantalizingly low. tantalizing?
That's
appropriate.
Sure.
Describe
I'm sure.
It is tantalizing. not to diminish its importance, but it is really hard not to grab money when it's this cheap. But anyway, is there oral or written testimony or any public comments concerning the proposed issuance of the park bonds? Have you heard anything, Lisa?
No, I have not.
Okay. All persons desiring to be heard have been given an opportunity to present oral and written testimony with respect to the proposed issuance of the park bonds. I entertain a motion to finally adjourn the BINA hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. The hearing is finally adjourned. Okay, moving on to financial report. Carol.
We're now in the last month of the fiscal year, so we'll be winding down projections for the current year and they'll flow into the budget that will be approved at next month's meeting. From a perspective of the department, there really aren't a whole lot of changes as we've kind of discussed over the last 11 months. Daycare is holding its own and we're starting to see some progress in the fitness center and the Bobby stated that we're over 230 memberships now, so I think as of January, February, we're really making a push and we're regaining some ground there that was lost earlier in the year as Bobby had expected. So things are looking really well, really good as we go towards the last month, the last couple of weeks now in the fiscal year.
I've had one of the reports about we're looking really good for camp. Where is that reflected? Is that in the recreation?
Actually, it's not because it's deferred revenue as it relates to next fiscal year, so it's not really in these amounts. It's a setup into the deferred liability account.
Okay.
DEFI, deferred revenue account.
I know we'll get a report probably on the beach later, but there may be some financial implications with all the erosion.
Well, we're going to be addressing that. We'll have more details in the next committee meeting. So March 10th committee meeting, we'll be talking about that in more detail.
Okay.
All righty. If we're through with that, we will move on to staff reports, and the first is business.
We're just finalizing the end of the fiscal year, just as I just mentioned, and finalizing the approval draft. We're really looking at final projected numbers, and there's nothing at this point in time that's changed since we talked about the budget 2 weeks ago. So just looking forward to the audit and the issuance of these bonds, kind of the end of the year fiscal year stuff that we're doing at the business office.
All right, any questions for Carol? Okay, let us move on to recreation and facilities.
Yes, so good news on the beach concession. Jordan's Food of Distinction signed a contract with us for the next 2 years, which is great news. They have a good reputation. So they're in the catering business out of Northbrook. They've seen our beach and they're excited to work with us, so excited to see what they will bring. Just great news for us to run it and to do it. Watts is looking good. Weather looks really good for the next 2 weeks. We're already discussing if we can extend the season a little bit depending on the weather. So we're talking renters, making sure that we have enough money coming in to cover those daily expenses for the electricity. But the financials are looking strong in terms of people attending and rentals. So the weather has been good so far. So fingers crossed for the last 2 weeks. It is meant to close at the end of the month. Fitness is hovering around 220 members right now, with a lot kind of falling off and renewing. So that is going well. Almost everybody is transferred over now to the monthly membership. So it's really going to be interesting once the 2-for-2 rolls off. We'll start to see the financial impact of all those new members. So we can't wait till kind of April 1st.
In camp registration, early bird stops.
It's the end of the month
end
as well.
Month.
Something like that. Quiet today to remind people. Strong, camp is going strong. Aquatics and sailing, obviously, is very strong. Sun Fund's strong. Preschool, most of the camps are doing well. We'll really see the push. It's going to be hard to prepare until we really get past the early bird deadline, and we'll really have a good apples-to-apples comparison.
Bobby, I didn't follow the retention rate graph.
in your report about the fitness center?
It's all over the place, yes.
I wasn't meant to follow it.
The reason we put it in there was to show that it's going to start evening out more consistently now, because we've gone from yearly members to monthly members, so that should be. So we went from 2 or 3 months where the memberships fall off a cliff and then they have to renew. So we're hoping that's going to be a lot more between that 50 to 60% range growing as we've now transitioned. So this is more laying the ground to track that going forward, because it is another apples to apples comparison, because it was hard to track before. So this is an industry standard metric for fitness.
So what's the numerator and the denominator in this percentage?
So it will be year over year, how many people renew every year. So it will be to last year's March with this year's available to renew members. Does that make sense?
So it's the percentage of people who were members, of the people who were members last year,
who renewed.
How many of them are still members as of the following 12 months?
Yes, of our members, how many are actually going to renew for longer than the year? We've actually talked about this in some leases. There's actually a different retention rate as well, which the industry uses, is effectively March 1 members 2020 over 2019.
Right.
That's the percentage change, but we're doing it by actual retention of our existing members. We'll probably show both of those going forward.
Okay, I understand that. I would advise, because I've dealt with this kind of statistic many times before, that there are, like, in 5 minutes I could come up with 12 different ways to define retention rate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so every time you present a statistic like this, I'd ask that you specifically denote what the actual math is that you're showing.
Sure.
Question?
Yes.
Yes.
Someone can still sign up for a whole year campaign and prepay.
They can by request, yes.
We don't advertise that. They have to ask for that, because we would prefer they go month to month. It's better for our retention rates.
Okay. I have a question off this topic. As new families move in, or families realize they're going to have a baby and are very, very interested in our daycare program and infant program, I know that there is a waiting list now, and I know that it's deep. What can people expect to hear when they call to say, you know, I'm having a baby in a few months, can I get on the list? Tell us what the situation is.
They're told an honest answer that we have a long waiting list. A lot of the times people are calling for a year in advance. We have a lot of calls from realtors as well,
mm-hmm.
who are representing people who are looking to move to town. Okay. So we tell them the likelihood of them getting in or not, which is better, I think, than stringing people along. So people know that they need to be calling a year ahead and following the wait list, and the minute they know they're going to have a baby, getting on that wait list.
Can you... First of all, that comment you made was fascinating, that real estate agents call, because that certainly seems to say if a young family of children is looking to move in, but they've got houses in a couple of different areas, this is a critical piece of motivation to choose a home in Glencoe. Certainly justifies everything we say about daycare, but what exactly are they hearing? Are they hearing... There's enough on the wait list that it's unlikely that we're going to move anyone out. Like, help me understand.
So it does change over every 12 months because the room clears out. Mm-hmm. So Jess is able to say, you know, we expect to have openings in September. So mm-hmm. that's the time to call, because they have to legally leave the room at that point. So she gives them the time in which they can get confirmation. But she's not.
Yeah.
Every single person, the whole program is forecasted out.
Okay.
But if I call, I'm sorry. If I call when I am about to have a baby, how long before they would realistically be in the program? Is it immediately?
Probably 2 years.
2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh my God.
So you're telling people, even though you're about to have your baby, I realistically
Correct.
Don't think there'll be space for you?
Yes. A lot of lawyers are still going to nanny for the first year or two and then try getting into the program after that, or they'll look at other options. It's an epidemic nationally.
It sure is.
Yeah.
But fascinating how quickly it plays out here.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And if they're residents, they automatically jump non-residents?
Oh, so as the waiting list, then wouldn't it be good to just say, I want to go on the waiting list anyway?
We don't allow that. They have to be pregnant.
Okay, but presuming they're imminently going to
be pregnant. Yeah, we stop the wait list because it's just mathematically impossible.
Unless the people, as you said, the people on the wait list, they put their name there, but they're not necessarily intending to put their child in the program. They're just sort of like hedging their bets.
Correct, but even with that, we'd be able to fill the room twice over with the number of people on the wait list. Because if you take 12 in the interim, there's 24 people on the wait list.
Right.
So the wait list doesn't even guarantee your day to day.
Sure, sure.
So,
but some of those people have gone on to other providers.
We're constantly following up. We keep a detailed log of when we last talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
Jess does a phenomenal job with that.
Wow. Oh my goodness. But the expansion would require expansion all the way across. So you couldn't just expand the infant room because that then gets a logjam for
the next
6 new classrooms.
Oh, wow.
4 at a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would also have to be all in a licensed wing.
Uh-huh.
So you couldn't just use other rooms in the facility. You have to move other programs out. So it would be logistically challenging.
Right.
So for example, you couldn't just take it and take all these rooms up here and say we're going to use all these rooms for daycare.
Right.
So it's not in the DCF licensed wing,
right.
Nor is it secure.
Right.
So we couldn't
right.
just say, okay, we're going to use all these rooms.
It would but it's potentially something that could happen in the future because it just
not with an investment, not in this wing,
yeah,
right?
With an investment.
I don't even know if it could be this wing.
So the challenge with DCFS is, once you have a licensed wing, every single program in that wing has to be licensed. So even one day programs or after school, you have to have the medical records for everybody who participates.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really strict.
So even if they just use the room and the program isn't in session,
any program in a licensed wing will then be a licensed program. That's why GJK is in that. They're fully licensed as well.
Right.
So we would have to take over all of those classrooms.
Which are how many classrooms?
Four. There is another room, but it doesn't have a bathroom, so we have to put in another bathroom, which would be a significant expense.
Right.
So
right.
Is it technically possible? Yes, but it would be millions of dollars of investments. And
I'm just.
Oh yeah, because we've thought of that.
The need in the community going
mm-hmm.
forward, and how to sort of think about that mid and long term. Okay.
Right.
All
I
right.
Mean,
I've said I'm.
You'd have to either add either. Take over those GJK rooms and convert them to Children's Circle and move them some other place.
Right.
That's not necessarily a DCFS licensed wing because they don't technically have to be because they're a half-day program.
Yes.
Am I correct? I believe they want to be.
Yes.
Or add on to our facility.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as simple as just putting trailers outside like some schools do during expansion. They put trailers over.
Right.
First of all, we have no place to put the trailers.
Right.
Second of all, that would not meet the requirements.
Right. But you're always thinking about this.
Oh, yeah.
You're always thinking.
Oh,
and we're really...
Right, because it's disheartening to imagine that there's this wonderful resource and, you know, it's just...
And it's not as simple as, say, going to NSS Ray and saying, okay, can we rent? First of all, they don't have the room, because we did ask that question right when we bought it. First of all, they don't have the room, nor are they DCFS licensed.
Yeah.
And we would have to make a substantial investment in that older building to make them DCF compatible building, because of window heights and such.
Right.
So.
Right.
They also have to have, if you use those bathrooms for preschool, they have to have bathrooms. If you use those rooms, they have to have bathrooms.
In the rooms.
Significant cost to put them for infants, or for the age, the seats have to be a certain height. It's extremely.
Right, and then all of the other programming in there would then fall under that umbrella, which
mm-hmm.
is a whole other set of problems.
Correct.
Wow. Okay. All righty.
Yeah.
Success.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So any other questions for Abby? Okay, here we go, Chris. It's on Parks and Maintenance.
She didn't forget it.
No, she didn't. I appreciate that. Thank you. Well, we made the best of the lower than previous years or so. So things like conservation management, a number of indoor projects. We rebuilt all the cabinets for the beach house. So just been making the best of the weather throughout the park system and the facilities. And, you know, knock on wood, we'll hopefully get through the end of the year without snowmageddon. So very favorable. Starting to really identify our weather break projects, the beginning of March, tennis courts, athletic fields, things of that nature. So any particular questions regarding my report?
Anything? Okay.
I would like to note that...
Yes?
I just came from a conference sponsored by the Regional Planning Agency on trees and tree trimming and that sort of thing. If you could remind us again how that works here, our agreement with the village.
So we've kind of gone away from the shared services agreement with the village as far as tree maintenance goes, because the village's crew is particularly configured for parkway maintenance. So they don't have the expertise and the experience in climbing, which is the style of trimming that we do. So instead of driving a bucket truck out into the center of Lakefront Park and extending the boom and doing significant turf damage, that's not what they're configured to do. So we'd be pretty exclusively using Nels Johnson through a legally bid contract. Nels and staff, they climb. So what that means is they don't drive trucks into the parks, they set up ladders, they climb the trees, they trim the trees from inside the tree itself, and then they typically hand carry all the debris out to the edge and then chip it up at the street. The village has done some removals for us on like the edge of properties, things that they can get with their configuration. We also have worked together with them on the Green Bay Trail, things of that nature, but they're just not configured to drive their types of equipment into parks. At the same time, Nels, they do a lot of golf course work, so they have pieces of equipment that are configured to drive into a soggy park and not put wheel ruts or do, you know, $20,000 worth of turf damage to take one branch off a tree. So how we're doing it right now is we really trim, we have it's like a 3 to 5 year cycle. High profile parks such as Lakefront, Caught, they get some attention every single year just based on the fact that it's very high profile, like here at the Ticket Center, a few other areas at Watts, things like that, and then we're on a 3 to 5 year cycle for the remaining parks in the system. Before we renovate a park, we typically prune the trees because the time to trim your trees is not when you've got a brand new playground underneath them. So in all of the park renovations that we've done in the last 5 years, we've done a major pruning cycle before those renovations. And then after the renovations, we come back and we do a deep root fertilization of all the trees just to keep everything healthy and moving forward.
Yeah, one of the things that became apparent at the conference, they're talking about the importance of trees in water management.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I hear in my peer group is a lot of park superintendents who have been in the field a long time have felt the loss of the elm trees, because mm-hmm. elm trees suck up a tremendous amount of water.
Mm-hmm.
So in a lot of our parks, where if you went to the park in 1978, there'd be a dozen elm trees, that's now a park that has no elm trees and may have water condition issues. We started to plant bald cypresses throughout the park, which is a tree that sucks up a tremendous amount of water. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not a drain pipe, but we've had some success in some pretty soggy areas with cypress trees, like here in the Bioswales, also in south of Green Bay. They're about the only tree that'll grow in that park from this point going forward. But I completely agree with that. The plant selection is very important based on the environment.
It's interesting you have...
I'll pass on some of the handouts.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, back and forth, because they say don't do raindrop pattern tree planting, but that's if you can activate the green space, and that there's so much standing water in some of these green spaces that it makes sense to raindrop as many as you can to try to help soak this up. It's an interesting dilemma.
It is. I mean, because the challenge with the raindrop planting is when you're replacing, you know, old growth trees one for one, you're really replicating the raindrop. But when those trees were originally established there, there was no turf grass.
Right.
You know, there was just chips or prairie underneath them or savanna or whatever it is.
Right.
And now we're really kind of trying to maintain an artificial environment around the base of the tree, which can be challenging. Mm-hmm.
But at the same point, we might come back and say, are you okay with activating some of these areas to be more like the natural prairie style? So that may, there may not be as much, quote, open recreation space in each neighborhood, but we have sections of the neighborhood. So that's what we're looking at that too, to make recommendations moving forward. Can we plant more trees knowing that the neighbors won't have that big open space to play baseball, but we'll have, say, a baseball or someplace open space within a 5-minute walk. So that's kind of what we're looking long term, is how we can establish that.
We're not going to be able to grow athletic turf grass underwater.
Yeah.
And you know, when you look at these things as a wetland, if you start managing them like a wetland, you're going to get plant material to establish, but the use of the park is going to change. And I think that's where we have to figure out how are we using this park, and now that it's really, if we're going to manage it like a wetland, what's the new future use of the park?
Exactly. Right. So that's what we're looking for towards the future of how to do that.
And just shifting people's perception that it's got to be a manicured green space to something that looks a little different.
Absolutely. I mean,
exactly.
Athletic turf grass is not a naturally occurring phenomenon. You know, go for a hike up in the UP and find a 2-acre field cut to 2.5 inches. That's one monoculture of bluegrass, but that everything doesn't have to look like that.
Right. That's true.
And those opinions are changing.
Yes. Yes. It just takes people a while to get used to something different. Okay.
Dandelions are native.
They are.
They are.
Really?
Yeah, they just don't grow in short. They don't usually grow in tall grass.
Yeah.
No way we can plant almond trees, because I know they use an enormous amount of water.
You know, we planted fruit trees along the top of the berms here at Taken. We thought it would be really fun for the bees and then the deer eat them.
Oh, the deer. The deer.
They're yummy snacks.
Yum, yum. Oh, well.
Have to be deer resistant too, because we have a lot of deer.
Can you reintroduce wolves?
that would make the community happy.
The coyotes would be the, like, not to worry anymore, right?
I saw
three young bucks right in the neighbors right along the road. So there's definitely a deer, big deer population. So we also have to think of that when we're planting trees. Mm-hmm. What are resistant from deers, which is really nothing.
Nothing.
So
they're everywhere. Okay.
But good question.
Oh, Stephanie, sorry.
My question was, I assume you're taking the caution when the weather is warmer so that the kids can be outside. And when you do replace the caution, did we fund some equipment in there? Like, did that come out of that other fund?
We're doing the flooring, and then
we're doing the flooring, which is one line item, and then there's another line item, a smaller amount for replacing some of the wall fixtures and equipment in there, and other
that's how she looks movable
pieces. Yes.
I'm sure you've seen it,
but
there's some really cool things that you put onto the wall, like finding things, and
that is crazy. Mm-hmm. Set them onto me. We haven't set. We've looked at what, because there's basically two or three suppliers that do all top gyms for those movable pieces. We'll send them out, we would absolutely look at them.
That's true, because
some of
our plants too.
And then what is that unit
standing on
there? Rooftop unit.
Rooftop. The air conditioner?
It's a package unit, so it's the heater and air conditioner and the
humidifier. Good questions.
Okay, so on to Erin, marketing and communications.
Yeah, we're working on the spring promotion, which will end this month.
And Erin's been doing a great job working with Adam and Fitness and work with community correspondents regarding issues that are affecting the Park District.
One of my favorite parts of every single report is the click-through rate for you. I love to see them. It's like, oh, I wouldn't have thought that. But interesting.
Very targeted. There's notes in there to like smaller groups.
Yep.
Specifically to the children's
role,
non-resident
and
Yeah, it was great.
Well, that's a good one. Oh, I like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
smart. And then
smart.
The other one on the 17th was specifically people who weren't actually really needing to move for another 2 months. So, again, it's a small group, but keep them on them early.
Good.
Sometime in the future, I guess I'm pretty old school, I don't really understand the social media program. And this, you know, my son works for IRI, which is one of the early big data things, and he gets talking and I get lost too. and he's on the Walmart account, and he says, we take that data and slice it and dice it 1,000 different ways.
There's so much data that you can get from there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I don't have an appreciation for what we get now or what we could get or would want to get in the future.
You know,
this would be another a future.
Erin would be happy to meet with you if you want to meet with her on that.
Yeah. Well, I think it'd be helpful for all of us to understand a little more about how all that works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, very good. And safety and wellness, Carol.
Well, we did receive some good news from NERMA in that our PATH wellness testing, we are the most approved agency of the approximately 80 agencies that are doing the PATH program. So I attribute that a lot to Liz Stoic and her efforts to really reach out to the Parks Department, to the daycare staff, and to really get them to understand it and get them set up on the PATH program. So
wonderful.
There was some good news along with a $200 check that they give us for that.
Oh, good. You can have a party.
We're going to apply it towards something safety related.
Yeah. Oh.
Kind of letting it go. I know.
That's a good thing.
Okay.
That's
good.
A good thing.
That's good.
No, this is not. This is for the...
Well, it's PATH, it's most improved agency.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not the individual's
participants. Popsicles, Gatorade. It's like bread and butter in the Parks Department when it's hot outside. Popsicles, Gatorade. The Freezy Pops, too. You can't beat that.
Uh-huh. All right.
Okay.
All right, then.
Thank you. So, Lisa's ready for the executive director report.
Yes, just to confirm really quick, for coffee with the board, Dudley and Stephanie responded to go to that on Saturday. So, and Stephanie has to leave a little bit early, but you two will. Oh, okay. So you guys will be the coffee with the board representatives at the library on Saturday. So thank you very much for volunteering to do that. And just take your talking sheets with you on the most recent issues. That would be good. As I mentioned earlier, we all know that the water levels are increasingly high, and they're continuing that way, and that there was a big storm on the 11th to the 12th. So this is a much larger issue that we're going to dive into in the March board meeting, once we have a little bit more information. But know that Bobby, Chris, and I, well, Bobby and I have pretty much been always active on the sand management and the Illinois Coastal group, and we continue to be. But now there's a even more concerted effort about because of the high water issue. So we're going to go into more detail, but we've had Prederma out to look at our pier. We've been talking to the neighboring park districts. So we'll dive more into that issue in March. So be ready for that. I just put some information on the Park 7N and Frank Lloyd Wright Cottage. We had a meeting with the neighbors that went very well, and there were neighbors for and against the cottage moving there, so we'll continue to have open dialogue with the neighbors on that. I just put a little bit more about the recreation facilities, which we talked about. Lisa and Dudley and I attended the legislative breakfast, where we had two of our representatives at that meeting, and talked a little bit, thanked them for our recent grants that we were awarded, and reminded them of the park grants that we are now applying for. So continue to work on that. But really what I want to focus on today is that I sent you, and at your table, I have... I put two documents, so I thought maybe first we can go over the linear park. That might be a little quicker conversation, and then we'll move on to the strategic initiatives. We saw we had a little light meeting, so we thought we'd bring a little more discussion points in. So if you recall, the Green Bay Linear Parks, one part of the design agreement was the what we're calling social spaces aspect of the trail. As you recall, these are not funded items. These were, we were going to look for donations or allocate resources as the board chooses, but we are going to put them into the bid as an alternate, as a package. We don't want to put them individually because then the price of the whole project ends up going up. So we'll put them all in as a alternate, trying to get an idea how much they cost so that we would know how much of a donation we would need to fund these. So we really, this is the first discussion. We'll discuss it next month too, or next at the next committee meeting, if we need to, if you feel you want more discussion and think about it. But these are some of the ideas. I know a lot of these ideas they brought up during the design phase, and we just wanted to walk through and talk and see if we're on the right track. If you like these, any that have to go out, any that should stay in. So let's start with the number one social space, the arc bench and pillar in concrete. It's the first page. What do you all think about that one?
It's really nice. I like it.
I like it if it could be stained so it doesn't necessarily scream concrete.
I think that the idea is that it looks concrete, actually.
It's stained concrete, though.
Well, you could, but this has its own natural stone-like, you know. My guess is they don't stain it.
It's a precast product, Dudley, so.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine it comes in different colors, but I mean, this is probably just the concept image that the manufacturer had for one that was installed somewhere else. So, I don't know if it's specifically selected by Ultima New at that color, or if it just happens to be a concept art that the manufacturer sent.
Does anybody else want to see it in a different color?
No, I have a different question. Though.
Sure, please.
So I see there's one plaque on there right now. And I know this is a very clean look, and I like that sounds very modern, so I do like the clean look, but I was wondering too if this is one of those things where you can have many different people's names on it to get other donations. I mean, that might make it look...
Well, we probably do.
That's a really good question. I thought the same thing.
What we probably do is one plaque on each side with multiple names. I wouldn't want to see plaques all over it.
Uh-huh.
I think that would ruin look. I don't know if anybody else disagrees with me on that. But that plaque definitely could have multiple names on it if there's many donors to fund that one piece.
And you could have one on each.
One on each side. Or even on each side of the one on the side, one on the side, this side, this side, if we needed to.
It'd be nice somewhere to do, like, I know this is. I'm not going to have a lot of bricks that probably in this concept. I mean, I don't know what else we're thinking for the whole entire plaque, but if we could do somewhere where, and again, I know it's not going to raise a ton of money, let's say it's 200 brick, but it still would bring people together, and people really like to see their name on it, and they just like to own that piece. We did something in my community in Florida, and it was really nicely done, and I did it around where the bar is, and everyone's like circular, and so many people contributed because they want their own
brick. Yeah, there is no brick in this whole design. I mean, that would have been a while ago. So there's no brick paver portion of this project at all. Remember, it's crushed, I always say it wrong, granite. Just the name of it. Crushed decomposed limestone is the pathway, and then we go into the cement for around the playground and the interactive fountain. So there's not a brick paver per se, but there definitely could be a possibility.
Paver.
What?
I mean, they do. I mean, like around it. I would say maybe you can talk to us and say if there's an option somewhere.
That's already been done and approved, that design for the brick. I mean, that would be, at this point, it's pretty much a change order, right, Chris? Because we're already ready to go to bed. That should have been brought up.
We've already done the whole path of everything.
So the concept of the project has to be pre-approved by IDOT. So that's basically like the overall concept. There are some decorative stones in the plaza, but they're very hard material, so you can drive a truck over them for the Green Bay Trail and the pathway. At this point, it's possible, but it would likely result in a change to the design. In an addition, it would not be a funded element for any of the grants at this point because you have to kind of keep those elements up front. So, I mean, if the board wanted to include a paver section in the playground or something of that nature, it would be outside of the grants, but I mean, it's theoretically possible.
So Stephanie, you're really thinking about small donations.
Well, just something that people like in general. Like I saw that work, and I've seen it work in the city. They do it everywhere. My sister has like six bricks around the city, and it does draw people to want to contribute because they like to see. They like to. But they're different.
You know what?
They like that personal part of it.
If I remember correctly, when we were talking about Lakefront Park, that's where the board indicated at the time, and I can't recall if you were on the board at that time or not.
She wasn't.
But that's where they said we would really like to do a paver program at Lakefront Park because there was mm-hmm. Right in front of that sign and both entrances, there was a lot of mm-hmm. opportunity for big and small ones.
Yeah.
And so I think at the time the board said we don't want to do a whole bunch of them because then you dilute that. Because we did it at Friends Park, right? Was there a paver program? Or there's some place there was a paver program?
There's a
no, it was a sign. I'm sorry. Yeah. The sign.
Like the bronze disc.
Yeah. That's really cool with the round thing. So, and yeah. So I remember we were talking about it at Lakefront. That's probably why it never came up in this project, because it was if you do too many of the spots, then it kind of wears off too. And if we're go ahead.
Just to your original thought, absolutely.
I love this idea.
A plaque on there, we just have to figure out, sort out what the donation would look like and then how many names would be accommodated on a plaque, and this and lots of other opportunities.
Because you could put
we
it on
have to keep thinking about it.
Because you could put it on this side and the other side.
Or this side and this side.
Yeah, or both sides. It could be four sides. I love that idea.
Yeah.
Just to get more opportunities and more price points for people.
Yeah.
I think that's where the board should sit down and decide how they want to do that fundraising and what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah, that's a whole plan that we have to come up with. Yeah.
That would be that's a great idea.
I mean, because we've seen, in the past couple of years, with unfortunate passings, definitely they want to have benches and things somewhere. So I think there's a lot. There's more of that just organically that will come up.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. There's not only just these, but then there's all these other opportunities as we go down the trail mm-hmm. to do it.
Yep.
Which may be more unique than necessarily brick pavers.
Right.
Speaking of going down the trail, are you open to some additional feedback?
Yep.
About this?
Yep.
To your original point, I have no objection. I have no strong objection to any of these being included in a bid. To do all of them. Qualitatively, I'd like to say I like the organicness of the commas on the first page. On page 3, I'm confused about whether the proposal is the balance beam that the lady is on or the rectangular bench at the bottom.
Exactly right.
I believe the balance beam is the number of the rectangular benches placed in succession.
So there's...
Doesn't look like it. It looks like it's one piece of concrete.
It's 96 inches by 24 by 18. Would that be that one bench? Because that was a good catch, because I thought it was the balance beam, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So the bench. I'm not that thrilled with the thing on the bottom. That does seem like it would be more appropriate in a formal park, whereas the one on the top seems like it would be more appropriate for along a pathway.
So you like the top one? Does everybody agree with that statement?
Yeah.
I totally agree with you, Josh. Yeah.
The bottom is an office building.
Yes. Very commercial, and the top one.
Like the top.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great feedback.
The social space number 2, sorry, I'm going backwards.
That's okay.
As well as number 4. These shade into the fitness stuff, or at least the photos that they're showing there suggest that. I find myself wondering, how many people are actually going to run up and down these, and, whether that's a significant enough, four steps does not make a really good workout. If you want to run stairs, go to the beach. This seems like an expensive way to add steps. Having said that, for either this, the one with the blocky steps, or the circular ones, if these were well utilized as part of the summer camp program, for example, because kids need a place to sit down occasionally, that would make sense. I could see a group of friends sort of sitting mm-hmm. on each of these different discs, other than maybe the middle one, to have a conversation, whereas on these linear ones, I do not see that happening.
I agree.
And then I think second to last, I think I said this months ago, but I really like the linearness of the bench, the trapezio bench, and how, at least in my opinion, it kind of echoes the linearity of the railroad tracks. Finally, what I find myself wondering about chill seating is, it feels to me like if there's a natural area that's kind of pleasant to look at, this might be appropriate. I would not want to see this plunked down just next to the trail somewhere.
Chris, do you remember what that is?
If this were like, you know, where a parent might rest while the kids were at the playground, or in the natural, in or next to the natural planting area that was in the overall plan, I could see something like this.
Yeah, I think placement of all of these, are, to your point,
yeah.
Placement is critical for all of these. Like, what really makes sense visually and functionally? And you're right, all of these can function in a couple of ways, both as a physical kind of use and then as a hangout space, which I believe is the point.
When Ultima New gave us the concept, they were more concerned with the function, and they kind of gave us, well, this could fit here, or this could fit there, and our feedback was, let's see what the board thinks, and then we can turn it back to them. But I think your feedback is great, Josh. You don't want to have somebody looking at a stop sign for this thing.
Yeah.
I think they said this was
facing the sculpture.
Yes, okay.
Feedback to yeah. Ultima New, if the board is okay with the elements, and, you know, leave it up to their artistic talent to, you know, insert those where they're appropriate, and they're
right.
not just kind of stuck in there to make sure that they tick that box in their
yeah,
contract.
Right. They're the experts,
so,
and they have to think about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, along those lines, Chris, what troubles me about the package is not that there's anything wrong with any of them individually, but I fail to see what the thread that ties them all together is. Like, the commas are very round, right, and modern, whereas the wood bench is very linear, right? And some of them are athletic, and some of them are much more passive. And it's like, well, what are we trying to do? Like, I could see five or six concrete things that are all different but made of the same color concrete, right? Or I could see a bunch of wood things, or it feels like there's a bunch of random stuff in it.
I kind of wonder, too, are they necessary? Again, we're just seeing these, not based in any of the parts, and we don't know where they're going. So I think that would be a big difference. And I don't know, it's a lot of, like, thinking about it, and thinking about this person is like a lot of concrete. But again, I don't know how they're putting it all together, or how big these things are. Like, some of them kind of remind me of the nature park, mm-hmm. 2 and 4 do.
So some of these elements are an outgrowth out of the beginning, you know, concept of a fitness park.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
what.
We heard the yes. feedback of the community that, you know, this isn't the right location
yeah.
for, you know, machines next to the trail, and it's
yeah.
just not going to fit with the character of what we're trying to accomplish. So we went back to Ultima New and we said, well, give us something that, you know, if somebody wants to do an exercise on, but also will act as a gathering space, also has an artistic fit to it. So I think to Josh's point, there's a lot of very different elements here. And I think that, you know, they've given us a choice. I don't think that they're suggesting, you know, we should have 3 of these and 4 of those and 7 of these. I think it's really up to us to come back and say, well, what's right for the trail? What's right for the park? And, you know, what do we think fits the character? Because they could, you know, we could spend a lot of time doing 3D modeling and looking at it in every park, but, you know, ultimately, what fits in that section of Glencoe along the trail and what doesn't? I think that's kind of what we have to decide.
I agree with you what he said. I'm going to play devil's advocate and look at, when you're looking at these boxes, and I don't know if they have to be lined up in a straight line or if they can be moved. So how I look at these, because I know they show adults and then you get stuck at that, but how I envision it is like the parents walking down the trail and their kids running ahead. And then they start jumping on these boxes and doing stuff, and then the time the parents get caught up, they run off again. So it's kind of taken into account for the kids that have all this more energy than their parents, and maybe they're running ahead and doing different things.
Right.
And so I think that's where sometimes you look, I totally agree with you, no one's going to run and use these as an exercise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at these circular pods, these look like this to me will be used with kids sitting around, talking, jumping from one to the other. You know, it's more of that social league. So it's not real exercise, but kind of for kids, boxes are fun. You know, round discs are fun. So that's kind of how I look at it. And I totally looked at, agree with Chris, if you guys want more of a theme of all of them to match, mm-hmm. that is fine too. We just have to give that direction. So
I
like this bench.
Anything that's just a hard no.
Yeah, if you don't like it, you're I don't really like those boxes.
It's difficult for us. We need to see it in context. For instance, that balance beam, which I love the idea. You're barely going to see it from the lowest 18 inches high. So when you look at it here, it takes up a big space in your head, but in its own, in context in the space, not so much. So I think we have to look to the designers to help, you know, frame it for us in terms of how much space it takes up, the layout, where they would go, that kind of thing. Because they're the experts.
I'm thinking about this in part in the context of some of the negative feedback that we got from residents about why are you building in a passive space.
Correct.
And so admitting that I might not have fully thought this through, the balance beam, which to me is effectively a bench, you know, if you put it along the trail.
True.
Is a very functional thing. You know, people need to stop and tie their shoe. They're having a heated phone conversation. They want to sit down. Whatever. Like, it's appropriate that there be a bench along the trail. But when we start to get into these, as much as I might admire them, I start to think, are we just building stuff because we can? That shades into that criticism that we received of, well, why are you building stuff in this green space?
Which then, I totally agree. And that brings us back to, as well, we are not seeing it in context. We don't know, in that huge, big, sunken field, is this like a tiny thing in front and back, or is it, taking up that whole field? It's really hard to make decisions.
Oh, yeah,
I
no.
go back to that same thing. I remember the military were during that meeting, and we don't want to just slap concrete in there. And I know that's not what the designers are doing. They're very thoughtful, and they're, very thoughtful about this process, but that is in the back of our mind.
True.
I think that their goal isn't to suggest these to say that we need them. It's to suggest them to meet the expectation that they were creative, they thought about these beyond just the fitness machines that we initially talked about in the divisioning process. So I don't necessarily think that Ultimanu is going to say each one of these elements is integral to the spirit of our design and, this is a make or break item. I think ultimately it comes up to the opinion of the board and if these are items that, folks think belong in those parks or not. I mean, I don't think saying that, in retrospect, maybe this isn't the right application for this is necessarily the wrong decision.
Exactly.
That's the decision that the board comes to.
Exactly. Or you may say,
you can doesn't always mean you have to.
Exactly. And they're not fun. These are not fun items either. So
just remember, though, that when we started talking about this project, it was not just a pass through. Mm-hmm. We talked about it as a place for people to gather or originally to have some sort of not just for children, but for older than children, mm-hmm. place to physically move. So those were the concepts that got us going on the whole project. So I don't think this is out of line with the concept. I just think that we would be more comfortable if we saw it more contextually within the space. Then we would feel a little differently. And I mean,
feedback.
If you're really looking at each individual thing, I have no problem with any of these. Nothing stands out as being inappropriate. There's nothing that I would say this is terrible or this isn't good. So all of them have value.
So the feedback is that go back to Ultimanu and on the trail, where would you place these? to kind of give you a conceptual idea.
Right.
And how much space?
Sense of scale. As far as like open field, we intend to have that continue to be open field. There might be some berming that goes on for to help with water and things like that, but that's going to be, this is not going to take up the whole thing. So that's great feedback to bring back to them to say, give us the scale, you know, where would they recommend these going? So you kind of get an idea. Is that true?
I think I agree with that, Lisa, but I would add, at least speaking for myself, I don't see how these all fit together. They're okay. Very different.
Right? What does everybody else think about that that comment? That's very valid.
I think I can't comment on it because I can't, unless it's in context, to see how they fit together. But you made a point before about the camp seating. You know, it makes sense to have those benches where the kids are for camp. Now, that is kind of a narrow area, so that, you know, the neighbors may not be thrilled about that. There was comments there already about the tent. But that's another thing, like, where would you put that where it would be used in that sense? Because that's more like a soccer field or, you know, right? Like, if this could go anywhere, this social space one, like, someone's going to sit down, they're running and they're bicycling, they sit down, and it's like a bench.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual benches, it seems more like that's a functional space. So that, I see what you're saying, like, it doesn't fit with this that's just like putting a bench there.
And I don't want you to get tied with camping there.
Yeah.
Because actually, this summer, because of the construction going on, that we're going to test out camp drop-off and pick-up back at this location. Now that we have the parking lot configuration done and approved with the drop-off loop and the way that cars could pass, we haven't been able to do that for years. Now we're going to bring it back this summer because we can't do it there anyways because of construction and try it out. So in the future, camp drop-off and pick-up might always be here. But that does not mean they don't walk to the beach and they won't be using that trail because we're doing more walking and less busing that they could use those elements we go on. So that's something to keep in mind. You know, if you have 20 kids going down the trail or a family of four going down the trail, how could they use those as possibilities?
And I think the designers might say, I don't know, because I don't know the operation of their mind, but I think they might say that what ties these pieces together is that they're sculptural and functional.
John would say it in a way that you would also like,
maybe we could have Bobby speak in his accent.
To Josh's point, that's a great question, and I will definitely, what I'm hearing from you is like, two things come back for the March meeting is, how do they all tie together? What's your vision for these? How come you picked all these pieces that look so radically different and how they all tie together? And can you kind of show us where they would go on that? And then we get
the
answer.
And the scale.
This scale, but low scale. I don't
you
think.
Mean height.
Height scale.
Yeah, we're not
going to
do.
On my soapbox,
we're not going to do a 3D rendering.
Colors and things that will
what?
Come into the park.
Oh, we could do a 3D rendering. We'd have to pay for it.
No.
So within the scope of our agreement, what we would expect to be able to come back to the board with, without adding additional costs, is basically the overhead. Like we would look at the playground equipment, like the CD, the construction drawing. You know, we can have approximate dimensions. I mean, we could even print out and rig up things as the actual size and, you know, look at them in the scope of this room. But to Lisa's point, if we wanted to do 3D modeling, we would have additional costs because that's outside of our current agreement.
Well, what we had that was hung on the wall for so long, is that considered a 3D model?
No.
So can't you just clap?
Well, that's what we're saying. We can do that. That's what we could expect. But to Dudley's point, you won't be able to see how high they offer. But that's not to say we can't bring a box and say, okay, this is for this one, it's this high. You can expect it being that high. We could definitely do that. So you kind of get that visual.
I want to maintain the openness as much as possible.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Accommodate the seating.
Yeah.
You don't want to have a head scope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, can I ask we talked about like more activity paths, which I know we went away from the equipment, but we had other ideas this is like totally not, those are kind of like gone.
And I think it's from feedback from neighbors where they were really resistant to doing anything overt. And so this is a way of accommodating sort of our concept without being disrupted visually.
We did choose not
exactly
the bike track,
which I love, but I get it. That's not the place
for it. Or pods with them.
The labyrinth was another amenity, which that was originally the stones with the writing on them.
Yeah, yeah.
That we chose not to advance.
Exactly.
Like a pinwheel shape.
Yeah. And these are all much, you know,
lower
in profile.
They're activity, but more, I guess, natural.
Almost
play, imaginative play, so kids could decide what to do on those, as opposed to, say, a spinny thing, which the neighbors had some objection to.
Yes.
It's just there's not, kids will enjoy this, and adults will sit on it, but there's nothing active for adults.
Well, did you notice the push-ups, Stephanie?
I'll say those are definitely push-up rocks.
Those are push-up rocks.
I thought that was Stephanie and the phone.
Stephanie, you wouldn't be able to stretch from the outside to the inside. You're petite.
So definitely push-up rocks.
But yeah. Tricep dips, you know. Okay.
Any other feedback those two things bring back?
So show them in place and
ask how they tie together.
And well, also, is there any particular one that we want to see like a mock-up, a visual mock-up of? As far as height-wise goes, a boat, you know, anything that you look at in the room?
I think number three we are confused about, so if we can get clarification on that.
The balance beam. Yeah, what that includes, the whole thing or just one bench?
I think we're all agreed we don't like the bottom of the bench.
Right.
I say that's what comes out of this.
We want the balance beam type.
The office park bench. Yeah.
But again, speaking to you, Stephanie, like that balance beam, that could be a sponsored item with a plaque on it. The push up areas, you could definitely put a plaque on all those circles. So those are all individuals that could have naming rights. Mm-hmm. When you go down to the benches, the more comfy benches, those could have names on it. So you could technically have naming rights for all those amenities. Or multiple, you could say. Or multiple.
Is that, you know, something under, that's not
2,000. You could group together with people, maybe.
Yeah,
but you know, we have to think about this, Stephanie. You're right.
That would be a much greater. Maybe there's a separate committee that works on that, deciding what would be appropriate. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Any other feedback? Okay, so we'll bring this back next month. Thank you. And if you have anything else that comes to mind, please do not hesitate to call. Okay, the next one is we made great progress on some of the low-hanging fruit in our strategic plan this year, as you can see by our accomplishments for the year, but we really want to map out the roadmap, per se, for the next 2 to 3 years on our strategic plan, and so we developed KPIs for a lot of different initiatives that came out of the strategic plan. So all the themes, all the initiatives, all came out of our strategic plan based on board input, community input, staff input. So from the initiatives, we came up with objectives and KPIs. Objectives also came from our strategic plan based on some of the comments and from all three sources. So did everybody have a chance to kind of look this over?
It's really hard to read. This is better.
We blew it up to like a big size and we're writing on it, and we could definitely do that next month. What we did is we actually took a big, she blew it up to poster size, laminated, and we actually started writing on it. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to go over this and say, okay, is there any areas that you really want to drill down to or anything to add? And we can definitely go in more depth at our committee meeting on this if you needed more time, anything that really jumped out to you. If you didn't have time to look at it, that's fine too. There's a lot of information here. Like I said, we've been talking about this for a good 2 months and really drilling down to these different objectives and KPIs, so, and then ways to measure it and what we're looking at. So,
and now that we have this, if you need it,
Can't read it on your phone?
Could we add
to the Oh, yes. It was meant to, yes. I wanted, as I knew it would take a while to see it, absorb it, and then bring it back to committee without a doubt. We could definitely do that.
Do you want input now? Or
you, whatever you want to do, yes. We can give input now.
You ready?
Sure. Oh, all right, we have a tape going, so go for it.
Okay. Under the customer connection, this is
okay.
kind of two things. One is we're going to have a census coming up, and it'd be,
correct.
I just want to make sure that we understand the impact of that on our constituents. And then the second thing is we've never really examined the results of the village survey, the in-depth village survey, and that may have some impacts for us as we, you know, design programs. Or I think there were a couple questions.
They had a couple questions on that.
Maintenance.
What do you, Chris? What do you know?
I had the opportunity to examine that. And I was very excited to see that the overall satisfaction with the park district went from 86% to 93%.
Right, yeah.
The majority of the maintenance-related questions were directly related to public works, yeah. street and sanitation, snow removal. There were two on the whole survey. I had the opportunity to review it through the Sustainability Committee. On the whole survey, there were really only two questions that were really applicable to the district, both of which we made a 5 to 7% improvement over the previous metric. 5 years ago or 7 years ago,
right.
whatever it was. So I know that we talked about doing our own survey this year as well, and kind of benchmarking those.
That's what I was going to say, Dudley, is like the village survey was great. We saw some progress to two or three questions, but it's not related to the park district.
Mm-hmm.
But we are, as you know, because we budgeted doing a community-wide survey for our park district, because we haven't done one for about 5 years. So that was our plan this year, and then we can benchmark those off the from the prior one.
Yeah.
So I think we should, more than based off the village, which only has two or three questions,
okay.
do our own survey, which
okay.
definitely
like a follow-up. Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna bring the questions we had in the past survey, bring it back to the board. Want to use a lot of those same questions so we can benchmark, but also get input from the board with any other new questions that you will have.
Right.
So that'll be an ongoing process when we develop that survey.
And then also they want to benchmark other communities, you know, compare with other.
We could do that through the IPRA and NRPA surveys.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
But definitely noted census. That's definitely. Just so you know, Dudley, Erin's on the census committee for the village, so she'll be bringing that information back. So, okay, community survey, which I thought we had down here.
Related to environmental and stuff, since I'm on that committee, and one was sourcing of resources and materials, like environmentally sensitive purchasing. You know, those kinds of things.
Thought we had that on here.
And we have education.
Did we have that on here, Chris? Do you remember? I thought we had it on here, and I just can't find it right now.
I mean, it's part of reducing our carbon footprint in a way, but that's more like fuel and stuff oriented.
We have utilities.
The only other thing I wanted to
mention. There was something
just reduce consumption.
I'm not clear how our recycling program works.
Yeah, but that's sort of what he's saying, right? Reduce consumption.
Yeah.
Is it working?
Well,
we haven't.
Specifically the location. So the Thinker Center in particular, we do a significant amount of recycling once, but the actual park hands are just filled with garbage.
Stain
so
the
majority of folks, unfortunately,
yeah,
are too undisciplined to actually sort. We did try a pilot
so purchasing
program
that
on the beach 2 years ago, and be honest with you, people just fill the cans with trash.
Yeah.
And
right.
You know, sorting garbage is just not something that we can effectively execute.
The last meeting of the sustainability group, that folks were asking me about the potential for solar panels on the.
Say what?
Matter of fact.
But actually, from an environmental standpoint, buying. Power from a solar farm or a solar district would actually be even better. That's something just to look into.
Well, Well, we already looked into a possibility. We actually talked to Josh in great length about solar panels on our building. Turns out we're a little too small for that. That to be effective for our agency, unfortunately. But that is something that we looked into.
But, you know, I just read, for some weird reason, data that if you just use solar panels, it, like, spreads and other people use it. Like, there's a really big, additional benefit to putting solar panels on, because it does. It's not just for the use of those panels, but it just starts spreading.
Well, you may want to make that investment like other districts have, just for the sole purpose of education.
Exactly.
And know that, you know, we're not going to have the dividend of tremendous energy savings to the taxpayer, but we could put it somewhere very visible.
Right. It shows
there are districts that do that.
Right.
So that's definitely a conversation we'll have. That's more in depth. That's not a goal we put here, put solar panels. We're not going to decide that tonight, but that goes under a reduced carbon footprint. And that's something we'll have definitely a discussion with the board.
And couldn't you use solar panels for things like the lights out there, like have a bank of them? Is there such a thing?
Well,
like, it doesn't have to be on the roof, right?
We have solar lights.
We have solar lights.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, that's all the energy they have. It's just solar and wind. It doesn't need anything else. Okay, all right. I was just trying to think of other ways, like having, you know how they do when you live out in the wilderness and you have to have like a bank of solar plant panels next to your house and it feeds all these.
If you want to put a whole bunch of solar panels.
That's what
we're going to
do with all the wetlands.
Good luck. I know, but that's something we could definitely put down, is like that's in reduced carbon footprint. That is something to have a much more in-depth conversation about how to do it.
Develop fund environmental sustainability plan. We could also include alternative energies.
Yeah.
Sure.
Under the reduced carbon footprint.
Okay. The third one.
The third one. Yep. Definitely. Got it.
Okay.
Since we're talking about sustainability. I question the goal of increasing tree coverage or setting a goal of growing tree coverage. Of course, I have nothing against trees, but we do have a lot of land that has non-native, unhealthy cultures of trees. So, at least for this commissioner, I'd rather see us commit to having healthy tree stock or forests or whatever where we own the land than planting more trees.
Well, if you see, the definition was actually the number of healthy trees, not the number of trees. So the definition actually calls for that. Under increased tree coverage, total tree of number of healthy trees, right?
Maybe I misread it then. Okay. I just want to point out.
But I agree with you.
I'd rather not just, you know, plant 10 more non-native trees in a park somewhere to increase a KPI.
Exactly.
But make sure that even...
I would say number of healthy and native trees. I like that, because I agree with you. The village has too many, you know.
Yeah.
We're gonna come back and plant some material there, but the KPI is not really capturing the fact that we removed 70 square feet of buckthorn and then came back and planted 4 oak trees in that same spot. So maybe I think to Josh's point, we can rework the KPI.
Yeah, we could definitely work that.
It
native trees.
Depends on how you count. It might be, well, I removed 200 buckthorn trees and put 4 oak trees.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. That's good. That's a great point, Josh.
Yeah.
We'll work on that one.
And I think the native and healthy, including native to that as well.
Definitely clear.
That is changing with the recommendations that we're getting now because of climate change. Things that were like defined as a native tree maybe 15 or 20 years ago, we're starting to be advised to.
Yeah, I agree with that. But what you're looking at then is take a tree that historically was native to central Illinois.
Correct. Yeah.
Not something from
Kentucky.
China.
China or, yeah. Phil was just complaining about that because they're old. Their old tree, whoever planted their tree in the past would bring all these unusual trees in. And he's like, native is much definitely the way to go. So. Yeah, that's what we call that. Okay, anything else on that? That's a really good point. So far, we're going to add something about sustainable purchasing. I think there might be something we're going to check for that. Look at add solar panels or other alternative energies into that one. Native trees and rework this one. Put something about the census and make sure the community survey's in here, which I thought it was, but we'll make sure that's in there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Okay. read over and think about it more, digest it, and then we'll bring it back to committee again to look at it again.
Yeah. There's something in here about fundraising.
There is under financial
stewardship,
alternative revenue growth.
So it's like captured in there.
Okay. Yeah, grant all sponsorship, right?
Sponsorship.
Growth. Oh, that's. I said it right. I read it. I read it right. Let's check that spelling. I thought I just couldn't speak, and it was just really. I read it right.
Okay.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
This was a lot of, obviously a lot of work. Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of work. Is this? And this is all new.
Yeah. Well, it's all based on our street bank. So actually, the themes and initiatives aren't new. It's just that how we're measuring it. And actually, it's just how we set it up. A lot of this information came directly from the strategic plan that we just implemented in a way to read it better.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And for y'all, in your board packet was a link to the strategic plan if you want to get it, or we can print it off for you if you don't have a copy already. It should be in your board.
And it's on our website.
Yeah. It's all over.
Aaron, I think this is for you. The link in the board packet does not work.
Oh. Okay.
That's Jenny.
Oh.
The link in the board packet didn't work to go to the strategic plan.
Correct.
Oh.
Yes, I'm sorry, Jenny.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Lisa, is that it?
That's it. Any other questions? Okay.
All right. Sorry, kids, but we've got a little bit of action items here. All right. I entertain a motion to approve the Glencoe Youth Services stipend of $10,000 and the SNAP stipend of $1,000 with the requirement of providing the Glencoe Park District with a certificate of insurance as required by PDRMA.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Vladin?
Yes.
Commissioner Onderdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the Glencoe Junior High Project stipend of $10,000 with the requirement of providing the Glencoe Park District with a certificate of insurance as required by PDRMA.
$10,000?
Yes.
That's correct.
The first one was 10, wasn't it?
$10,000 and then $1,000. And this $10,000. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Got a second?
A second?
Motion was Boren.
Boren.
Onderdonk seconded.
Oh, did he? He asked a question. Did you second it?
I'm second.
Okay.
Okay. Any discussion?
This is very similar to previous years.
Yes.
I think a few years ago we increased it from its previous, from 97 to 10.
Dudley, we had a good discussion about this at the committee meeting when you were driving.
Yeah.
Except for me to say again, they seem to have a very healthy, and kudos to them, they're doing a wonderful job of managing their finances, but from my reading of it, they seem to have a very, very healthy asset balance. So I guess I would question the need for this overall based on what their financials are, but for now, I would move it forward. Any other discussion? Okay.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Onderdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. All right. Other business.
We have a couple more.
You have the...
Sorry. Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the Christopher B. Burke Engineering Contract for the amount of $80,045. For the construction management of the Connect Glencoe Trail project as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
This is like important to get the grant, right?
Yes, we have to do this.
Pretty much, yes. I have a quick question. Altamanu will still do what they're contractually obligated to do in terms of their following up on things?
Yes, correct. So we originally had a fee in Ultimate News Agreement for $10,000 for construction management support, design support. That fee has now been rolled into the Chris Burke agreement because per IDOT, Work Engineering is the pre-approved vendor. They have to be the primary contractor. So we're not paying any additional amount.
Good.
It's just basically before Ultima New was the boss and Work was the subcontractor, now Work's the boss and Ultima New is the subcontractor to meet IDOT's expectations.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
It does, yes. Any other discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes.
Okay.
Motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the Midwest Mechanical contract for the amount of $82,814 for the mechanical maintenance repair services of the Takeoff Center, Watts Recreational Center, and the GYS building as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
We maintain the
GYS
building?
Yes, our building. Yeah.
It's ours. I don't know how I mixed that up. I thought that we gave them the land.
No, they lease it from us for $1 a year. And then we put $2,000 worth of maintenance towards the building, and they're responsible for the remainder.
So it did stand out a little bit to me, $1,200 for just kind of like general maintenance for the...
So the reasoning behind it is typically the GYS building is used at night and on the weekends, mm-hmm. So all the service calls are overtime calls when we have to bring a team member in for a problem with the heat or the air conditioning. So by having the mechanical company on hand, we have a guaranteed service rate, we have a pre-approved relationship, and we basically have somebody to call on Saturday at 2:00 when GYS calls and says the heat's not working. So that's the reasoning behind it, but you know, if in the scope of this contract, if that's an item that the board feels is appropriate, the value is really in the services they're providing at Takeoff and Watts. So
yeah.
I'm not.
How long is the contract for?
1 year, 12 months.
So,
as we discussed in the February 4th committee meeting, typically our previous model was $500 a year service fee, and then we were basically paying for repairs on an as-needed basis, and that amount was nearly as much as $80,000 a year. So, basically we were waiting until the equipment was breaking down and then repairing it. So at that point, we were at the mercy of the contractor. If they said it was $20,000, we either chose to repair it or we didn't have a heater that day for daycare. So the model that we're moving to is a total cost of materials model. So for the fee that we're paying the contractor per month, we cover all repairs. So whether it's a $30,000 repair or a $300 repair, that's included in the cost of the contract.
And this way, we have a little more, I guess, comfort that our systems will work. We can't take a chance that our systems will break down and we don't have them. You know, we have to know if something's going to happen and be more proactive. Because if he goes out in the daycare, we have to clear the building. And all those families that require, you know, rely on us for child care, if they can't get there for a week, they can't get the supplies for a week, then we'd have to close down the building per DCFS. So we want to be more proactive. So we are always looking at the machinery, know if something's going to happen, can fix it on a timely matter. Right now, it's more of like they wait to see if something breaks, and then they get called in an emergency basis.
Is there any recourse if, you know, because they kind of know they're getting paid, and so if they get by their service or say, you know, aren't giving you this
turkey.
You know what I'm trying to say.
Like,
nope.
So if they just run the Christmas down.
If they run the Christmas, yeah.
So the question is,
good question.
The company has phenomenal references. They work with partnerships, they work with schools, they work by their reputation. So is there a recourse in the sense that we know the expected lifespan of our equipment? So when our equipment is about 80% of the way through its typical lifespan, so we're really bringing them on at the end of the life of the equipment. So to me, we're going to be replacing 85% of all the HVAC equipment at the Takeoff Center in the next 3 to 5 years.
But so when you replace that, don't you have
warranty?
Exactly.
That's a great point. So as outlined in the memo, the two pieces of equipment that we're going to be replacing at the gym will actually result in a 12% decrease in the service contract. So the what we're asking the board to approve tonight is The inflated number, because we don't know what those pieces of equipment will be required to replace in March or April, but they will drop off the contract to a savings of about $8,000 a year for the next 2 years as they're under manufacturer's warranty. So there's a table here that shows that we've spent $71,000 on HVAC maintenance this year. So when those two units drop off the repair contract, we're going to basically be apples to apples where we're at right now with our expenses, knowing that our equipment is in the last 20 to 25% of its life. So the way that they're going to make their money is on maintenance, because if the equipment breaks down and they refuse to fix it, they're going to lose the contract, and at the same time, they're going to, you know, have somebody out in the industry telling everybody, don't work with this contractor. I mean, they have a great reputation in the Better Business Bureau, they have great references, so I'm confident in the level of service that they've provided to this point, that they're not going to turn around and not return our phone calls, but it is a quarterly contract, so if we come back in 3 months and we're not happy,
you can always get somebody else.
And I think that, you know, that's where we're at now, is we're not happy with our current contractor. Altoff has really let us down on three occasions in the last 3 years, and I think this is the first step, and, you know, I have no problem coming back and reevaluating this issue too.
And we, like I said, we have Glenview and Gurney, and we know them very well, and they give glowing recommendations, yes. So we're very confident with this provider.
Okay. Yeah, they need specialized in municipalities.
Yep.
Hospitals, hospitals, for
yep.
Clients that just can't have heat not working.
So the what I'll call the, what they have, the skin in the game that they have, is their reputation,
yep.
Anything else, and the ongoing contract.
Correct. Yeah, and the ongoing.
It's also, they want to be your provider for replacements. So when they come to you and say, oh, the rooftop unit on Community Hall is 15 and a half years old and it needs to be replaced, they want to get the hook to get in the door to replace that as well. And if they don't provide you good service, you're not going to use it for other stuff. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And to my original question, you're comfortable including GYS in this package?
I am in the beginning. I mean,
okay.
I think if we don't need to call them out for 4 or 5 months, and we can say, hey, you know, in year two of the contract, we don't need GYS.
Yes, good. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a test. Okay,
yeah.
I get it. Makes sense. Anything else?
I just...
Roll call. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. Now to other business.
I have no other business.
Any other business? Okay. So, the board will now enter into closed session where no action will be taken. I entertain a motion that pursuant to Section 5 ILCS 120/2 of the Open Meetings Act, the board will enter a closed session to discuss personnel as mandated by Section 2.06 point, parentheses 5 ILCS 120/2, in parentheses A, in parentheses 1, close parentheses. Those present during the executive session include all commissioners except Covey.
Motion?
So moved.
Okay.
Second. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yeah.
Commissioner Underdonk? President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passed.